Welcome to More Living with Jim Brogan, your source of information for living the best years of your life your way. For more than a decade, host Jim Brogan and his expert guests have come together each week to share important news and advice that can impact the lives and well-being of those who are retired and those nearing retirement. Learn about issues like health and fitness, financial planning, social security benefits, investment advice, and more. And now, here's the host of More Living, Jim Brogan.
Good morning, East Tennessee, and welcome to More Living with Jim Brogan, where it's all about living the best years of your life your way. You're tuning in this morning to News Talk 98.7 WOKI, and today we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is under fire. The Democrats are saying they want to expand the court in what they say will depoliticize the court. Is that actually going to do the opposite? Is it going to actually politicize the court even more? And I think this is big news with everything that's going on with the health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, of course, has had her third bout with cancer and successfully has had a tumor removed. And she shows all signs of continuing to go strong for a while. But what happens when somebody ends up turning over, and if it ends up being Ruth Bader Ginsburg, just the next person to leave the court, what is that act likely to look like? How ugly do we think that can get? Speaking of politics, has the court become more political, or is it our system in Washington that is trying to politicize that? Or is it maybe a little bit of both? I know many voters in 2016, this was maybe the central issue that helped drive you at the ballot box, is the makeup of the Supreme Court. So this morning, we're privileged to have the esteemed Dino Cole, good friend of mine, local attorney. Good morning, Dino. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Absolutely. It's great to have you in studio. I know when I called you last week and was like, let's talk about the Supreme Court, was it a little out of left field? Or
I was surprised, but I'm always... I always enjoy talking about the law. I consider myself a law nerd.
Yes, absolutely. I love having discussions with you. Okay, I have a Rasmussen poll in front of me here. This is what brings all this up. This was done last week. For the first time, so they surveyed, in the survey that they did, the poll, most voters agree that the high court is correctly guided by the U.S. Constitution, but are open to the idea that change is needed. In other words, they don't disagree that change is needed. And 43% of those surveyed agree with this statement. The Supreme Court is not well, and people know it. Perhaps the court can heal itself before the public demands it to be, quote, restructured to reduce the influence of politics, end quote. So 43% of Americans believed in that comment that the court needs to be restructured because of the influence of politics. What do you think, Dino?
Well, I think there's always been a perception from anybody that doesn't agree with the way that the court may have been proceeding that it needed to be changed. I mean, you could go back to the New Deal when FDR wanted to pack the courts. He wanted to put 15 justices on the court so he could get his New Deal policies through, because they were blocking most of his policies under the Commerce Clause. And so he wanted to put 15 justices, and this is a court that at one time Thomas Jefferson vetoed a bill where they wanted 5 justices on the court, and Thomas Jefferson said no to that. And the courts had as few as 6 justices on the court and as many as 10. So it's not unprecedented to change the number. There's no constitutional provision that says this is how many justices have to be on the court.
So let's visit that. How did we get 9? Is it based on the federal circuits?
No. Yes. It was based on the law. It was based on a congressional law that they set it at 9. They could change it again. But again, whatever power party is not in power, they may have the idea to pack the court so they could dilute the the justices, they
yeah, it seems kind of like Pandora's box, doesn't it? So I have a quote here from actually Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she says, and I'm going to just paraphrase this because the quote is actually does read tremendously well. But she basically thinks it was a bad idea when President Franklin D. Roosevelt tried to pack the court. And she brought up that people are saying the court appears to be partisan. She said that if anything would make the court appear more partisan, it would be increasing the amount of judges. In other words, it would make it appear to be even more partisan and more political than it is. And she went on to say that one side saying, hey, when we're in power, we're going to enlarge the number of judges, so we want to have more people who vote the way we want, and that she's not in all at all in favor of that solution to what she sees as a temporary situation. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I would think that most of the other justices respect the history and the institution of the court. There are 9 unelected lawyers, but they've gone through the process of a senatorial hearing.
Yeah, who was it said that had the quote, the justice that had the quote about, was it Antonin Scalia about, didn't he have when he made one of his rulings about 9 judges, 9 unelected lawyers are making the, wasn't it the, I don't remember which case it was. But was it Antonin Scalia that said that?
That's correct. He always advocated against the court acting as a super legislative body and said that they should just interpret the law and not create the law.
Because they're supposed to be a balance to the legislative branch.
Right, they're one of the three branches.
But it's supposed to balance.
That's right.
Do you think the Supreme Court has become too dominant in that? Do you think it's equally balanced?
Well, they are kind of the ultimate 800-pound gorilla, that if you pass a law and it doesn't pass constitutional muster, they can completely reverse the legislative process where you have, you know, 2 different chambers, a Senate and the House of Representatives and a president that sign a law into effect, and they say, no, it doesn't pass constitutional muster.
But that's supposed to be the check and balance, right?
That's correct, but that shows you how much power they have. They can strike down a law that has gone through that process.
So let's back up for a second. Let's fundamentally talk about what is it, and you mentioned, does it meet the constitutional requirement? So, you know, with the laws. So let's start with what is fundamentally, if you could explain to our listeners, the biggest difference between what you would consider a conservative justice that would be favored by conservatives versus a liberal or progressive justice that would be favored by liberals.
Well, you know, I could be cynical about it and say that if they don't like the law, they'll find a way to match their conservative or liberal
worldview,
philosophy. But in terms of the difference in their a conservative justice would say that generally you don't strike laws down. You generally try to keep the law to be within the bounds of the Constitution. Unless if it's, you know, just so far left field of what they're allowed to do. A liberal justice may be seen as one who would try to strike down anything that was not very favorable in a liberal cause, and they would be more activist. That's the the buzzword, I guess, that legal scholars like to use, that more activist in terms of striking down laws that they don't find are fair or not within their liberal narrative.
So when we look at the landscape, and we look at, you know, several Democrats want to expand the court. I guess Kamala Harris, Senator Warren have said they want to expand the court. Notably, 3 Democrats that are against expanding the court. Cory Booker has said he doesn't think that's a good idea. Amy Klobuchar and, of all people, Dianne Feinstein have said that they're not for that. So there's even a split, and I was reading an article, and it seems like about a third of Democrats want to expand the court, a third just want to explore options, and a third say, no, this isn't a good idea. So even within the Democratic Party, it appears that there's kind of a split there of what the appropriate thing is, of what they want. I guess some of the more experienced in Dianne Feinstein seems like maybe she sees, well, there's going to come a time when the script is flipped, and then are the Republicans going to want to expand the court because they don't control, you know, when the Democrats have the Senate. And then it was just a few years ago, the filibuster was eliminated, right, for the Supreme Court nomination, so you didn't need 60 votes anymore.
You simply just need a majority.
That always comes around, though, right? It's kind of a catch-22. I mean, it's like, what do we want now? And then what is that going to affect in the future? Which I think is kind of to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's point. It's whatever the people not in power want that are in the minority now. So it's all short-term oriented. It's not. So when Senator Warren says, and I quote, it's not just about expansion. It's about depoliticizing the court. I don't know, Dino. It seems like to me this would do the opposite. It would politicize the court even more than it already is. It's the opposite of what she's saying. What do you think? Do you agree with that?
I do agree. It would politicize the court. You would have more senatorial hearings, which, of course, we saw how the Kavanaugh campaign or hearing went. And then you would also have a situation where if you had a Senate that was the opposite party of the president, then you would get a more moderate justice, which is what has happened in the past. And there have been justices appointed by Republicans that have become traditionally liberal-leaning justices.
But if you look at some of the justices previously, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia, I mean, their legal credentials were impeccable. So they were confirmed by huge margins, right?
They were. That was before the courts the Senate was as politicized about selecting the justices. I think the first really highly politicized hearing was with Judge Bork back in the late 80s when he was actually not selected. And then the third choice was actually Kennedy, who eventually became the U.S. Supreme Court Justice, who Kavanaugh replaced. But it's a very interesting progression. Then you had the very hotly contested Justice Thomas when he went through his hearings, and the famous high-tech lynching that he pronounced at his own hearing. And it was a little quieter after Justice Thomas came into effect and came into the court.
You know, it seems like this concern, it only motivates the party in minority, which to me it's just all politics. And it's, I think, why so many people are just so sick of politics, because there's hypocrisy abounds. What the party in power wants and what the party in the minority wants, when that gets reversed, their views completely just do a 180, and it's just politics.
Well, I mean, these are very powerful justices, and what's interesting is the average American probably can't tell you who the Chief Justice is. Probably can't say it's Chief Justice Roberts. I would say the majority of Americans can't tell you who all nine justices are, or that there may even be nine justices on the court. It's almost like a secret branch of justice in a way, that they're the top of the branch. Obviously, there's lower courts below them, but these justices are fairly incognito. I know one of the justices used to ride his bicycle to the court in the morning, and probably nobody knew who he was. And they go to the grocery store, but not, you know, other members of the branches of government couldn't be incognito like that.
Well, with the news of the new cancer, this is Ruth Bader Ginsburg's third bout with cancer, and with the news of her cancer, it kind of underscored for me what is the importance of Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the court, maybe even from a non-legal perspective, in terms of the camaraderie of the court, how well they get along, and the way the justices even look at the whole process and even denounce the politics of it themselves. And what are the potential ramifications once she is gone? So we're going to discuss that more with local attorney Dino Cole. Stay tuned for more of More Living with Jim Brogan, only on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Carry on my There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Kate's Cove to the Lost Sea Adventure. We've got you covered on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Are you retired or getting ready to retire? Are you concerned about making your money last as long as you do? I'm Halloran Hilton Hill, and to me, retirement should be the best years of your life. Yet many retirees constantly worry about their finances. And with good reason. According to a study by the American College, 80% of your financial success or failure in retirement is determined in the first 10 years. And the financial plan that gets you to retirement is typically not the plan that will get you through retirement. That's because instead of saving money, you're now withdrawing and spending money. And that puts a different stress on your nest egg. What if you could get essential information about how to make informed and prudent financial decisions for retirement? That's exactly what Jim Brogan provides in his adult education classes at the University of Tennessee in Pellissippi State. In these two-night classes, Jim will teach you how to use your money to serve your life goals in retirement and beyond. To learn more about Jim's classes, visit him online at broganfinancial.com.
Look at your phone, tablet, or computer. What's going on in there? Hard to say, but one thing's for sure. These things bring you things. Things like news, sports, interspecies animal friendships, or, you know, whatever you're into. But to get that stuff, you'll need an internet connection. One that's really fast with no data caps. One that's just $24.99 per month. Super fast internet from WOW. A company you'll love. Sign up today at WOWway.com. Offer for new customers for 12 months with a 2-year agreement and auto pay. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Join WOKI this September for the Tennessee Valley Fair's 100th anniversary. This year, the fair takes place September 6th through the 15th at Chilhowee Park and Expo Center. And News Talk 98.7 WOKI wants to give our local community's first responders the chance to attend the Tennessee Valley Fair free of charge. If you're a first responder or know of one, click on over now to newstalk987.com and enter your local first responder for a chance to win free tickets. Tickets to the Tennessee Valley Fair from News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
You are listening to More Living with Jim Brogan. During the week, Jim is a financial advisor, an author, and speaker with an MBA from the University of Tennessee, who specializes in helping people in or near retirement plan for the next phase of their lives. You can reach Brogan Financial during the week at 865-862-6800 or on the web at broganfinancial.com. And now, here's Senior Market Advisor Magazine's 2011 National Advisor of the Year and host of More Living, Jim Brogan.
Welcome back to More Living this morning as we're talking about the Supreme Court and how might Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health issues, as she eventually ends up leaving the court, I mean, who knows? All signs are she's going strong. She's going to continue to for a while. But when that changes, how is that likely to impact the court and then how that extends to our everyday lives? This was a central issue for many voters at the ballot box in 2016, and I would suspect will continue to be a big issue in 2020. Many Democrats want to expand the court. They say they want to depoliticize. It seems to me like it would politicize it even more. But then we kind of understand if the roles reversed, Republicans would probably be doing the same thing. It's all this politics. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to give us a call this morning, 656-8255 outside the area. It's 1-800-951-8255 as we visit with Knoxville attorney Dino Cole. And Dino, let's talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I did mention she has been outspoken against expanding the court. And ironically, I've got a rather interesting quote from her about the two new justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And I quote, "My two newest colleagues are very decent, very smart individuals." When I see a comment like that from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it makes me think or makes me more aware that it seems like the current justices, they hate the politicization of all this stuff. They don't like that at all. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think they're in an elite club, and they're very collegial. In fact, before Justice Scalia passed away, one of his best friends was Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, the fact that they were so close, they could not have been more diametrically opposed in their legal views, right? The way they looked at the law.
That's very accurate, but they would go to the opera together, and they would socialize together, and they would put their views aside from each other when they were socializing, which is, I think, how it should be. And sometimes he would get very sharp in his dissents, but it was never a personal attack on the other justices that may have disagreed with him.
Well, that comment from Ruth Bader Ginsburg was, she was speaking, and there was a question and answer session with Duke law professor Neil Siegel, which was one of her former clerks. So one of her former clerks was asking her this question, and he asserted during the Q&A that, quote, nominees for the Supreme Court are not chosen primarily anymore for independence, legal ability, personal decency, and I wonder if that's a loss for all of us. And her immediate response was to defend, basically, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh with, my two newest colleagues are very decent, very smart individuals. So, and this was someone who clerked for her. There has been discussion that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and you look at the friendship with Antonin Scalia, that she has been instrumental in maintaining that collegiality on the court. From what you know, Dino, if and when, or when she moves on, do you think could be a real problem? Or do you think that is an underlying current that would continue on even in her absence?
I think it would continue on based on the little that I know. I've talked to some of the law clerks. Each justice gets four law clerks. And it's interesting that they will select law clerks, and they're usually the elite graduates of the top law schools that have already clerked for other federal judges. That's how you become a federal law clerk. And they're the attorneys that help with the research and help write the opinions for the justices. But a lot of times, these justices will select law clerks that are of a different political persuasion or judicial philosophy, just so that they can be challenged on their own views. Justice Scalia would sometimes hire very liberal law clerks, just so he would have that challenge and make his own opinions more solidified. And I've heard that Ruth Bader Ginsburg will hire law graduates with a very conservative judicial outlook.
But see, I think that's awesome that they do that. I mean, that to me, I have found the most successful people in business try to surround themselves with, they don't want to just surround themselves with yes men and yes women. They want to surround themselves with people that'll challenge them and that are people who are smarter than them. I mean, I will never forget my father. Beach Brogan was the general counsel over at the University of Tennessee for 25 years. And he always told me, and I'll never forget this, he always told me, Jim, hire the smartest people you can find. He wanted to hire people smarter than he was. And a lot of people don't do that because they're worried they'll get overshadowed. But people that are the best leaders, the most visionary leaders, I have found, They want to surround themselves with people that are smart and will challenge them, and iron sharpens iron. And I love hearing that about Scalia and Ginsburg.
Right. And your father was a very smart man, and I'll brag on him for you. He actually argued a case in the U.S. Supreme Court on behalf of the University of Tennessee, and I believe he won 8-0 in that decision.
He won, and Tennessee, UT, Dad never lost a case that he tried. And he gave this case to one of his other attorneys on staff, and they lost it. They appealed it, and then they lost the appeal. And then Dad said, I'm taking over the case. He appealed it to the Supreme Court. Didn't expect the Supreme Court would take it, and they did, and then he won the case, which, yeah, it was quite something.
And what's interesting about the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court, a lot of people don't understand, or you'll hear the expression, I'm going to take this all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, there has to be some sort of federal question involved, a federal statute or a federal constitutional issue. You can't just have a car wreck case that happens in Tennessee State Court and then take that to the U.S. Supreme Court unless it implicates some sort of federal law or federal right.
And actually, a little bit later in the show, we're going to get into that when we talk about this opioid case in Oklahoma and the importance of it, because it's really a state law, but it could affect some things on the other side. I know Dad had argued many, many times in front of the Supreme Court in Tennessee, but only the one time at the U.S. Supreme Court. But back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, she has said she plans to stay on as long as her health allows, and she's sharp-minded. Why do you think... What do you think? Give us a picture into that. A lot of people were surprised that she didn't step down when President Obama was in office, so that her replacement would be appointed by President Obama, but she didn't do that and plans to continue to be involved and be a justice for a long time. Do you have a perspective on that or things that you've heard her say?
Well, she still has a fairly sharp mind, even for an 86-year-old, but you know, going back, I guess, almost 4 years ago, she was 82, and You had Justice Stevens, who was the longest serving ever justice to 90. So she figured, well, I guess if he can do it as a World War II veteran, then I can do it. And if you still have your mind, you don't necessarily have to have your body to be a justice. And so I think that she has one of the highest honors an attorney can have, and that's to be a justice on the Supreme Court. That's not a real easy thing to let go. And there was talk about making the justices have a mandatory retirement. And there was also talk back in FDR's age of any justice that became 70 years old, they would appoint another justice to the court up to 15. That was his plan. And, of course, 70 was much older back in the 1930s and 40s than it is in this day and age.
So how are things likely to evolve? What are some upcoming cases that maybe are going to be very important? We're going to have more of that with local attorney Dino Cole when we come back. I'm also going to have my dollars and cents segment. Are we headed into recession? And what is an inverted yield curve? And what does it mean? And why do we need to be paying attention to stuff like that? And how do you react and secure your future amidst these economic times? So don't go away. Very important dollars and cents segment when we come back as you listen to More Living with Jim Brogan, only on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Everybody, I want to talk again about Cornerstone Dental Arts. They are fantastic. They always stay on the cutting edge. But I want to talk to you about cosmetic dentistry. You can really improve your smile. And if you're in front of people and if you're serving or leading people, you want to look your best and you want your smile to lead. And if you don't smile with a big, confident smile because you don't like your teeth, do something about it. It's one of the best upgrades you can do for yourself in terms of your appearance, for one, your confidence, but then healthy, strong teeth. That's a huge part of your life. The first part of digestion is chewing. So you want great teeth, and they'll help you improve your smile. Cornerstone Dental Arts can do just about anything cosmetically, but they're going to give you a healthier smile along the way. Love this team. Ben Stroud, Michael Williams, Joshua Kimry, Jody Griffin, the dentist of Cornerstone Dental Arts, are there to help you. Just go to whatasmile.com.
This has been a paid announcement.
We have to talk about it.
Nope, I don't wanna.
We have to.
No.
But we need life insurance.
La, 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 la. I am not listening to you. La,
so
la,
you
la,
don't
la.
Love me then.
What? Oh, fine. We need life insurance, but all the paperwork, it's such a pain.
Not with Ethos.
Ethos? Is that some kind of yoga thing?
No, Ethos is life insurance for people like us.
Like us?
People who don't have time for fine print, insurance jargon, and hidden fees.
Yeah, I pretty much hate all that stuff.
Of course you do. With Ethos, you can apply online, and there's a policy for every budget.
Really?
Yes. The online application only takes 10 minutes, and you'll be taking the first step in ensuring the kids and I'll be safe, even if something unexpected happens.
Ethos brings you choices that don't require an in-person meeting with an agent, and in most cases, there's no need for a doctor's appointment.
Feel better?
Yeah. I do.
Ethos, life insurance made simple. Apply online in just 10 minutes. Get a free instant quote now at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com. Ethoslife.com.
Gorgeous weather on this Vols football Saturday. 81 at noon, 89 your high temperature. In the lower 90s around Neyland. Lots of sunshine. The only chance of a shower is way up near Harlan, Kentucky. Tonight a little on the cool side. 64 is your low. 90 with sunshine Sunday. Only a stray mountain shower. For the WVLT Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ben Cathy.
Through his weekly radio show, television news appearances, and adult education classes taught at the University of Tennessee and Pellissippi State Community College, Jim taps into his extensive knowledge and experience to address issues important to living your best retirement. Join Jim every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. here on Newstalk 98.7 WOKI and visit him online at broganfinancial.com. And now, here's the host of More Living, Jim Brogan.
Good morning on this football Saturday. As you listen to More Living with Jim Brogan, where it's all about living the best years of your life your way. This is Newstalk 98.7 WOKI as we talk about the Supreme Court and the Democrats' proposal or the discussion that's going on about, hey, should we expand the court so that they can inevitably get more of their own people in, obviously. And then, of course, then when the roles are reversed, the Republicans will want it. The Democrats will be against it. You know how that works. It just makes it even more political under the shroud of let's depoliticize it. They're actually doing the opposite, in my view. And we're visiting with Dino Cole, talking about the impact of the health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and what that means down the line. And we're going to get into more of that. How might things be if Ruth Bader Ginsburg does leave the court while President Trump is in office, or any Republican president for that matter? Before we get back to Dino, however, it is time for Dollars and Cents.
Want to be sure you are getting the most out of your retirement? For all the years of your retirement? That's the primary goal of More Living with Jim Brogan and our Dollars and Cents segment, where we provide you with an important financial tip that will help positively impact the quality of your life in retirement. And now, here's Jim with this week's Dollars and Cents tip.
Are we heading into recession? That's been all over the news. And what the heck is an inverted yield curve? You probably heard that from 2.5 weeks ago as the yield curve inverted for one day. It is currently inverted. It happened yesterday. What does that mean? The way I and why do people say we're headed to recession, and what does that mean for you and me? So real quickly here, the way I like to think of an inverted yield curve is interest rates are upside down is how I would explain that. You know, typically if I buy a 3-year CD, it's going to pay me more interest than if I buy a 1-year CD, right? The longer the CD, or if I buy a 5-year bond, it's going to pay me more than a 2-year bond, right? That's kind of how we think of it. That's the yield curve. The longer we loan somebody or something our money, the higher the interest we receive. 5 years pays more than a 2-year. Well, inverted. And technically, when they're talking about this technical indicator in the market, they're talking about basically a 2-year treasury bond is paying more than a 10-year treasury. That's upside down. Easiest way to say that. It's just upside down. Well, the reason this has made big news is because every time that's happened for the last 40 years, we have eventually gone into recession. However, it's usually taken close to 2 years, in some cases more than 2 years, to actually go into recession. And then you've got many experts saying we don't think we will go into recession this time. Janet Yellen, most notable among them, 2 weeks ago yesterday said, I don't think we're going to go into recession this time. This will be different. We also know that the last 12 months of a bull market run are typically very robust. We know fundamentally we cannot time markets. So we have to be careful about just going to cash. And I'm getting a lot of people ask me, Jim, are we going into recession? Because it's been all over the news. And again, this is one of the big reasons why. I mean, we are seeing some economic slowdown, But the GDP growth is still higher than it was 4 years ago. So there's no signs of a recession right around the corner. Could it happen in 2 years? Well, sure. But, you know, who knows? Bottom line, we don't know when. We know market timing is futile. Many people went to cash 3 years ago thinking a bear market was coming. And they've been in cash ever since, and they've missed out on robust growth in the stock market. So I think the key to all of this, how do we handle our money? I think you have to have a comprehensive financial plan that takes into account what do you want to achieve with your money and when do you want to achieve it. You know, if I need money next year to buy a car, that money shouldn't be in the stock market. I'm just gambling. I don't know where the market will be in a year. But money I need for income 10 years from now, I can take some risks because I'm not as worried about what it's worth next year or the year after. I'm worried about what it's worth in 10 years. Now, granted, it may not grow much in 10 years if I lose 40% in the next bear market, which is kind of average for a bear market. So, you know, another lesson in there is more diversification. But again, it's looking at when do you want your money? What is it you want it specifically to provide when you're in retirement? How much income do you need? When do you need it? When are you going to draw your Social Security income? Social Security election's important in all that. What about your tax planning? If you can save more on tax, that's more net return to you. All of these things. How do you protect short-term income while getting long-term growth to fight inflation? So a fundamental financial plan doesn't worry so much about when the bear markets are going to happen. They're going to happen. It's putting them properly into perspective and building a plan that's not impacted, hopefully, won't be impacted by bear markets. That's the key, because we don't know when they'll be. And if you retire into the teeth of a bear market, if you're going to retire in the next few years, you know, that may be you. You need a plan to mitigate that risk, because retiring into a bear market, if you don't have a financial plan to mitigate that risk, could be absolutely devastating. Because if you live for 30 years in retirement, over half of your outcome over that 30 years is determined in the first 5 years. You've got to have a plan to mitigate the risk of retiring into a bear market. That's the bottom line. So it's not trying to time recessions or bear markets or bull markets. It's having a financial plan that encompasses all of these things, some of which don't have anything to do with investing, like Social Security election and other things, tax planning. So develop that plan. It's critically important, especially in these economic conditions.
That's our Dollars and Cents segment for this week. You can find this week's Dollars and Cents segment and others by visiting BroganFinancial.com.
I'd encourage you to go to BroganFinancial.com and check out all of our information there. We've got a resources tab where you can download information for free. My upcoming classes, my next class is at the University of Tennessee, Financial Survival for Retirement. It's this Thursday. It's two sessions, September the 5th and the 12th. So the next two Thursdays coming up, Financial Survival for Retirement. You can learn more at FinancialSurvivalForRetirement.com. You can download a syllabus and click to register. I'll also be in Hardin Valley at Pellissippi's location in October, as well as out in Blount County in October, out in Friendsville. So just lots of opportunities and ways that I put in front of you to learn more so you can take control of what should be the best years of your life. This morning on More Living, we're visiting with Dino Cole, and we're talking about the Supreme Court and the impact of what many Democrats are saying they want to expand the court. And then we have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's having some health issues. How long can she really go? She's 86. You know, she's had three bouts with cancer. She wants to stay on the court for as long as possible. How long can she go? And what is that impact? Dino, let's talk just real quickly again about expanding the court. A couple of concerns with the current court that I've heard, and I want your perspective on it, with the way it's structured now, is that with justices living longer and longer, so you have the same justices on there for a long period of time, is the court prone to becoming stagnant? And likewise, does it therefore remain kind of unchanged as society does change? And if that's the case, is that good or bad? Could be looked at both ways.
Some of the criticisms about the Supreme Court are that you've got these nine justices who are in the ivory tower in Washington, D.C. And at one point, there was this interesting phenomenon about them all coming from the West Coast or the East Coast. They were either Catholic or Jewish, and there wasn't a lot of diversity on the court in terms of their religion and their demographics.
Well, and don't every justice today went to either Harvard or Yale Law School. Isn't that right?
I believe that is correct at this point. I think that is true. Memory serves me right. That's right. You know, Justice Thomas has been on there since 91, and Justice Ginsburg has been on there since 93. But Thomas is only 71, and Ginsburg's 86. And I'll go on record and predict that if Ginsburg can no longer serve or decides to retire in Trump's last year in office, that although, when Justice Scalia died, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, said, we're going to wait till the election to pass on a Supreme Court justice nominee and wouldn't have a vote on Gil Merritt, who is the judge out of the D.C. Circuit. I think he might do the opposite in this case because it is so politicized. I think he might go ahead and have hearings even within the last year of Trump's office to fill that seat.
Well, and then how ugly do you think, I mean, when we replace Kennedy with Kavanaugh, Kennedy on most issues, socially he was more to the left, but on a lot of things he was more conservative. Do you agree with that?
Gorsuch or Kennedy?
Kennedy,
yes.
And then we replaced him with Kavanaugh, who's then considered even more conservative. Well, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg leaves, who's far to the left, and you replace her with someone far to the right, I mean, Dino, how ugly could that get? I don't think we've seen anything. I mean, as bad as it got with Kavanaugh, I don't think we've seen anything touching what it would get if Trump was nominating somebody to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That would be the center focus of the election if that were to happen before.
Or if it happened, or if Trump was reelected and then it happened. I just think that it would be sad what we would see. I think what we saw with Kavanaugh was very sad. And I think what we would see in this case would be very sad.
Now, people who don't really pay attention to the courts probably caught enough of what was going on with Kavanaugh in those hearings when it was going on because it was so sensational.
It was. Well, what are some, we had this opioid case out of Oklahoma that might have far-reaching effects on our legal system way beyond drugs. And then how has the Supreme Court typically looked at gun control, and where might we be headed there with all the horrific mass shootings we've had? Don't go away as we visit with local attorney Dino Cole. This is More Living with Jim Brogan on News Talk 98.7 WOKI. If you're like me and own a small business, I'm sure you know that managing employee benefits is a real challenge. And the insurance landscape is constantly changing. How can you offer the right package and balance the benefits and costs to help both your employees and ultimately your business? I'd like to tell you about 3to99, a full-service employee benefits company. But they're really much more than that. Their process starts with the advisory, not the products. They understand the challenges small businesses face and partner with you to implement real solutions. And it's not just a once-per-year transaction with 3to99. They stay engaged with clients all year long and help people get excited and better understand their benefits. So if you have a small business and want big business service, why don't you give 3to99 a call? You can reach them at 865-804-1556 or visit them online at 3to99.com. That's 3to99.com, because people matter.
Wow, that sure was a busy day. Two games, a dance practice, and a birthday party squeezed in, too. Now, what to do for dinner tonight?
Don't ask me. I'm exhausted.
A steak sure sounds good.
Steak it is at Shoney's, only on Saturday. Shoney's offers a sirloin steak special with two side items for only $8.99. Now, that's a great deal. Not interested in steak? You'll find items on the fresh food bar like pork roast, hot wings, baked spaghetti, barbecue ribs, or catfish, along with Shoney's delicious soup, salad, and fruit bar.
Now, that sounds good. I want a salad with cool, fresh salad greens, crisp vegetables, and salad toppings, and the kids, they've had a long day too. They love making their own unique dinner at the fresh food bar.
For dinner on Saturdays, enjoy Shoney's sirloin steak special with two side items for only $8.99, or make your own dinner selections from the fresh food bar. It's all ready for you tonight at
Know how to get stuff done around the house? We've got you covered. Around the House with Dawn Steimer. Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.
Thank you for listening to More Living with Jim Brogan. If you miss any of today's show or want to listen to it again, visit broganfinancial.com, where you can access the podcast and other educational materials to help you in your journey through retirement. And now, here's Senior Market Advisor Magazine's 2011 National Advisor of the Year and host of More Living, Jim Brogan.
Welcome back to More Living here on News Talk 98.7 WOKI. I'm your host, Jim Brogan. We're visiting with local attorney Dino Cole, and we're talking about the Supreme Court with Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health in the news in the last couple of weeks, as well as many Democrats' proposals or discussion of expanding the court in what I view as nothing more than a political motivation, in spite of their contents to the contrary to that. But Dino, let's talk about existing cases and kind of what's going on the landscape. Bring us up to date on the opioid thing in Oklahoma that was ruled on, and why that's important well beyond this issue, you know, the opioid stuff. Like, how could that impact us in other areas? Talk a little, bring our listeners up to date on that case and why it's important.
On Monday, this was a case tried by a state court judge in Oklahoma, who ruled that Johnson & Johnson has to pay almost more than $500 million in damages for selling opioids. And he based it on the law of a public nuisance, which he theorized that because the sales reps for J&J were trained in Oklahoma homes and used company cars in Oklahoma and sent messages to homes to thousands of people in Oklahoma by computers, then they're liable for a public nuisance tort. And public nuisance in the history of the law was used to regulate property disputes. You know, if a factory was polluting, then you could get an injunction to stop that pollution. But now they've expanded it, and the fear is that if you can't get legislation to stop things like tobacco use or handguns, then they can say, well, this is a public nuisance, and so you could sue these companies out of business. I mean, even one legal professor said that you could almost sue cell phone manufacturers, Apple or Motorola, for damages caused by distracted drivers, because that's a public nuisance. And you can see how this expansion could be a very detrimental
thing. Precedent that it's establishing could be very dangerous, in your view.
Extremely. And Oklahoma's going to get $500 million if this judgment stays. But I think the appeal is that this has been too far an expansion of the public nuisance doctrine. And, they were suing for $17.5 billion, and they got $500 million. I know the stock prices for J&J actually went up.
Yeah, I know. To kind of explain how things can somehow appear so weird in stock in the markets, Johnson & Johnson went up 5% that day because the judgment was less than the markets thought. It's kind of like when we get favorable unemployment numbers in the spring, stocks went down because they thought the market thought, well, there's less chance now that the Fed will cut interest rates. It's just funny how all those lines get drawn and they seem counterintuitive, which I don't want to get off on this, but it goes back to why we need a comprehensive financial plan based on what we want the money to do and when we want it to do it, like I covered about in dollars and cents. But so it sounds like it could be a dangerous precedent, this case in Oklahoma. Right. And it'll be appealed. Do you think it'll hold up on appeal to the – now, that'll be appealed to the state in the state system. Right. That won't be a federal appeal.
That's correct. And the way it works in the state of Oklahoma is the same way it works in the state of Tennessee, is that there's an intermediate appellate court that you automatically get an appeal to. And then you have to ask permission to appeal to the state Supreme Court. And there's also the U.S. Supreme Court's the same way.
So local attorney Dino Cole. Dino, how can people get hold of you? Tell the name of your firm and how they can get hold of you. You help people in a variety of different areas. How can people get hold of you?
They can call me McGehee, Cole, Gindy, and Walling, 281-8400, and you get my paralegal by pressing 2.
Okay, give us that number one more time.
281-8400.
And since I teased it before the break, just one final question. Gun control. We only have about 20, 30 seconds here, Dino, but the Supreme Court, have they kind of the United States, have they kind of shied away from taking on Second Amendment cases?
I think they have, and that's primarily because there's a lot of sensationalism with these school shootings and whatnot. But every time they've had appeals come to them, they've been turning those appeals down to talk about whether or not you have a right to carry a handgun without a police telling you whether or not they have the discretion to do that.
That's not Knoxville attorney Dino Cole. Thank you so much for being with us, Dino. Today we've discussed the Supreme Court because greater democracy and greater freedom provides more living so you can live the best years of your life your way. Check out my next college class, Financial Survival for Retirement, at the University of Tennessee. Go to financialsurvivalforretirement.com. It's this Thursday. It's September 5th and 12th. Two-part class. Would love to see you there. Thanks for tuning in this week. Go Big Orange. Have a very blessed weekend as you listen to More Living with Jim Brogan, only on News Talk 98.7 WOKI.